Yes, friends, we're very happy to be making this tape again, because this tape, this message, is going to be one directly on heaven. First of all, we'd like to talk about Jesus, our Lord. After he went to the cross and shed his blood, he appeared unto quite a few. One of his most wonderful appearance was when he appeared to his twelve, because they actually saw him. He conquered death, and he conquered sin, and he conquered the devil. And he appeared there in among his disciples, and of course they were all there, and there was Thomas, the doubting Thomas. Notice, some people think there was discrepancy between what the statement of Jesus said in the 20th chapter of St. John and the 17th verse. Jesus appeared after he had been crucified, died, and went down in the prison house of death, and he preached to the demons and the devils down there and brought them out, brought those out who wanted to come out with him. And here's what he said: "Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to thy brethren and say unto them, I ascend into my Father and your Father, and to..." Wonderful how he did that, and to know God and God. In other words, what he was saying was this: he was going to heaven, but he stopped long enough on this earth to talk to disciples that there would be a witness and a testimony of what, that he did conquer the grave, that he conquered that. Again, he said, "Peace be unto you." In other words, he didn't want them to get in turmoil and trouble. Then coming over to the 24th verse, wonderful, wonderful words. Let's go back first to the 21st verse. "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even as I send you." He was sending them out to tell the testimony of what God, his Father, had done, that he had come out from the grave. In the 22nd verse, "And when he had said this, and when he had said this, my brethren," and said it, he breathed unto them. He breathed, and he breathed unto them, that, and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Can you imagine? After he'd conquered death, he'd conquered sin, he was still breathing, showing that there is breath in eternal life, showing that you breathe in heaven. And here's what he said: "Whosoever sins ye admit, they are remitted." In other words, he gave them power to get them born again. Then coming on down, now here was something different. He had to let Thomas, because he wouldn't believe, except he pushed Jesus clear in to let him touch him. "And after 8 days again, the disciples were with him." Now, 8 days had passed by since that first time. Evidently, Jesus had contacted his Father, and he had absolutely changed, and he appeared different. But still, there was that hole in his side. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and saith, again he said, "Peace be unto you." Here's Jesus talking to them after the cross and after the resurrection. And he said to Thomas, here's what he said: Reach hither thy finger, and behold thy hand, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless." Oh, here was John. Wouldn't believe it unless he touched Jesus. And here's what Thomas answered. Convinced. Let many people can't get convinced today that Jesus lived after the resurrection. But here's an actual account of what happened. And Thomas answered and said unto him, after he did, My Lord and my God. He realized who he was. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, and touched me, in other words, thou hast believest. Now he goes on to our generation. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. There is the faith that we must exercise to know that Jesus did raise from the dead. And I want to tell you these wonderful records of Jesus appearing after death. But what happened to Jesus after that? He went to heaven, exactly where he went, to sit first on the right hand of the Father in heaven. So he sat on the right hand of the Father, and God began to instruct his Son how to run heaven, how to run it. That was a gigantic job. Remember, Jesus went into the new heaven with God the Father and began to take authority and to help his Father run heaven. Now, there definitely is a Father and a Son right there. And so the Son took up his absolute authority in heaven and begin to run heaven according to the will and the testimony and the desire of his Father. He began to run it, began to operate it. At that time when Jesus said, In my Father's house are many mansions, there were already mansions, they are ready for those who are going to occupy them. But he said, In my Father's house are many mansions, Jesus told him, for not till I have told you, I go to build a place for you. In other words, to get heaven ready for his followers. Jesus said, If I go away, I'll not left you comfortless. I'll send unto you another comforter, and he'll testify of me. And he said, And also he told the church, Greater things that you'll do if you go to my Father. Now, what are these greater things? Many of them. Many things that's happening today. The whole world is going to feel the great, wonderful power of the move of God upon this earth. The whole world is being stirred today. Something for the bad and a lot of things for the good, because Jesus is in charge of the good. Now, Jesus now is in heaven. He's gone there to his Father. He's there. So, therefore, what is he doing in heaven? That's the answer I'm going to give you today, this on this tape. He is constructing the mansions for you. He's setting it all up in a perfect way that the human soul can go to heaven and live forever. He's got many things going on that he's doing in heaven. It's almost impossible to tell it all, but I'm going to tell some of it. Now, he's there in heaven. First, he's got a tremendous army, I've told you many times, which he's training, of super angels, who he's going to come out of heaven with, I've told you that, and conquer Satan, the devil, the dragon, and put him in the bottomless pit. But that's not all he's doing in heaven, doing many other things. The beautiful mansions being constructed, all of this spectacular reality being made manifest through the power of God. Now, God took this earth, it was void and without form. The earth was here, but it was void and without form. There's records where these rocks are being uncovered and finding mammals upon this earth millions of years ago. Of course that's all. Of course it's so, but the earth was void when God came to it and found it without form. Now, what happened there? Therefore, there must have been some kind of a catastrophe that caused this world and caused those dinosaurs to die. Must have been something happening here. So then if it did, but yet it didn't destroy, the earth was then here, but it was void and without form. And God came and fixed this earth. In 6 days he did that with this earth, but in heaven it's taken thousands of years. Why? Because heaven is so much gigantic and so much bigger than this earth. It's a long, long job. Now, if God would have just said, let the earth change, it could have been. He said, let there be light, it was light. But still, he spent 6 days putting this void planet into operation that would have the fish in the sea and all these things on this earth. He cremated man, and man became a living soul. We go into that. But now heaven is an altogether different picture. Heaven is a tremendous planet. as we've said, 80 times larger than the earth and more. It's way up there in beyond all of the eye of man, beyond what all of the telescopes have reached. Here is God's got his new heaven, trillions of miles away from this earth, I know, because of my experience. Now, there is Jesus inside of the heaven. Now, I want you to try to visualize, if you can, with your eyes, what's going on in heaven. The greatest construction operation of anything that's ever happened in the whole time forever. Nothing like it has ever happened. You can look upon these buildings of the earth and see how what's happening now. New buildings going up. But heaven has got a construction going on, second to none. It's the most gorgeous construction that you can imagine and try to understand. Now, as we've said, there's this great city. This city is right in the middle of the inside of this planet. There is most wonderful scenery inside of heaven. And the outside of heaven, as I said, is full of rivers and trees and beauty and being nourished by the power of the living God itself. Needs no sun, needs no moon, nothing like that. It's all being nourished under the great, merciful power of the Spirit of the living God. Now, back inside of heaven, inside of this great planet, here we find all this great construction going on. Millions of miles of construction going on. Now, I'm saying millions of miles. Now, you know how big this earth is. I've flown around it several times, around this planet, into different countries, different places. In fact, next spring I'm going to fly across the North Pole into Japan to do it. So, therefore, man has conquered this earth to a certain extent. For instance, aerial transportation, rapid trains in Japan, and all this construction here, which is really something in itself. That's right. Yet man has fixed planes, and they blow to pieces. But not one of these great transportation chariots in heaven will ever blow to pieces. And they're flying all over heaven. I want you to get a picture of it everywhere. And the controller of this old aerial transportation is God's transportation leader. Now, God doesn't just sit there and do it all. He has got transportation angels who conduct all of the activities and lay out all of this transportation system in heaven. See, we've done it here, and God let us do it. But when you see this tremendous transportation in heaven, these great chariots flying everywhere, not colliding one another in every way, no wings to put up or put down, no Rolls-Royce engines to make them go, no, nothing of that type of thing, no stewardesses needed or what you call them, flight attendants, nothing like that. It's all handled by the great and mighty power of God. But yet Jesus is in charge of it. He's in charge of it through his archangels. Now, he has these archangels who administer all of this wonderful transportation system in heaven. Now, there's just literally thousands and thousands of these chariots in heaven based on the top of the city foursquare. And they're very close together. As I saw them there, and it's 1,500 square miles and even more of the garage area where they're parked. And they're solid parked. Now, you go down to a parking lot down the streets, and they get maybe 100 cars in there, and they think that's a lot. Oh, it's full, and we can't get in. But here is a transportation system in heaven with a garage or the home base covering 1,500 square miles of floor space. And sitting on this floor space are all these chariots just ready to go. When they fly and take off, now you look on a ship, and you'll see a ship like a carrier, which has all kinds of planes on it. And then they get up in the air, it looks as if there's, you know, it's a big thing to see them go off of there and fly in the air. They got them all over now, helicopters and planes are flying everywhere. But they have to be controlled, and it's taken a lot of controllers, and they even haven't got enough to operate it properly, to control all the airlines of the world. But now, just look at this difference in heaven. Here is an area full of tremendous chariots all going flying, and they lift up like a helicopter off of there. Watch them do it. And then they start off. And there may be maybe 3,000 one time in one part of heaven, all flying between one another, and not one ever touching the other, but controlled by the great hand of God through His wonderful, wonderful heavenly pilots. That's what you can call them. They're angels. They're archangels. And when they go all over God's heaven, they fly at a terrific speed. Now, you've got to remember that heaven is a big place. 80 times larger than earth, the inside, and more. And here's this area, inside, 80 times larger than the earth. Now, that's a tremendous planet. And yet, all that is covered by aerial transportation in heaven. It's a good way of transportation. So it starts from the base, on the top of the city four square. Start out to fly around heaven. Now, this is 80 times larger than the earth. And they can fly around there and be back in 3 minutes. Now, that's fast. There's nothing on this earth ever made to go that fast. But they can fly fast, they can go slow. They can settle down between the mountains, do that, or by the rivers, and see the beautiful scenery of heaven. But not only that, but they're made to even fly inside of the banquet house. Now, the banquet house is where you eat. The entrance is so big, they can fly in over the top of the tables, drop off their passengers at the tables wherever they're sitting, fly back out and go and get another load. And when they do, there can be several of those inside the banquet. Now, that's 1,000 miles square, and they can fly in that 1,000-mile area, go and never touch one another, never knock one another down, and go in there and deliver their passengers and go on back to their base, their place. Now, man has never, ever done anything like that. Never. Never done everything so perfect or so real. For everything man's done on this earth, God has got it a million times more perfection. So then what else can that wonderful transportation, that chariot, do? It can fly outside of heaven, outside, and fly out and go all around it on the outside and come back inside of heaven again. Now, we haven't got any earth like that here to go inside. It's a burning fire inside of this earth. But it also is, God is a consuming fire. So it can fly out of the windows, fly right out, go all around heaven, around the top, and you can go on an excursion journey, and it won't charge you anything. You can go fly there all around, look at God's beauty, and see it all. And you can be there a million years, and you haven't begun to see it yet, what you're going to get in heaven. Now, try to imagine this chariot coming and settling down on Main Street in heaven. In other words, right before the throne of God, where all the angels are. Now, all the way along the back of them, where the angels are, singing and praying and having a wonderful time before God, worshiping God. There's an area there, a tremendous area, where these chariots lie down, fly down, and settle down, and out of the chariot you can get and go, and it's wonderful because there's nothing dull in heaven. So suppose you want to go from the city four square there over to another part of heaven. You want to go over and see not only the banquet house, but you want to go to the river of life. So you can go over the river of life, or you can go in your own spirit and fly over there in the spirit yourself. But it's sure nice to get in one of those chariots and travel, because I got in one and I know what I'm talking about. Flying with it is so wonderful, to sit there in that chariot and fly right inside of the banquet house and go and have your supper. Exactly right. And it's that real. It's that genuine. So then when that chariot flies and the different levels of heaven, down to the lower area, the lower part. That's where all of these ones are really and truly waiting for the judgment. That's right. There's demons. It's terrible. Demons down there. And God is going to, you say such a thing is happening? Yeah, the sins of these people. Many of them refuse to repent. But God is going to bring them all before the judgment throne of God. And when they do, they get before the judgment throne of God. And that's not the first judgment. That's not the resurrection of the church or the saints of God. This is the resurrection of the wicked and so forth. That's going to be terrible. But yet, these chariots can fly into the same area and around, which heaven all around in the outer perimeter, back inside and all around, and then all up over the mountains. Now, we have what we call altitude tests and this kind of thing in the airplanes. In other words, they have to be careful not to hit a mountain, because if they don't not get high on that mountain and fly right into it and have a crash, that's not so in heaven. When I got into this chariot, where Jesus was with me, got in that chariot, and there was this very high mountain. Even the throne of God is high, very high. And there you fly. No, don't try. You fly it out. It's a wonderful experience. I was in Disney World one time and saw America the Beautiful. And there it looked like you were flying. What a feeling it gives you to get in one of these chariots and go all over God's heaven. You feel like it's coming up to you right into the chariot. When you do fly around heaven, all around, you get, and you say, what happens? Do you have breath? Yeah, you breathe. Because Jesus breathed on the disciples there before he went to heaven. So there's breath in heaven. So does it take your breath away? No, it's very normal for you. You don't, in other words, jump up and get excited or no low key or high key. It's just a wonderful, blessed, spiritual walk with the Lord. Then you'd want to go in your chariot and you want to go over to see all of the other activities. Or you can even fly yourself. Now, you see we have people here that go up there in the top of the mountain and they put on like a pair of flapper wings and they fly down off the mountain, gliding down their own selves. It's quite a wonderful experience to do that. But you don't need the gliders up there. You just want to go to another part of heaven. So you're going to go by yourself. So you just go by the power of God, the resurrecting power, and you go into any part of God's heaven you want to go. But it's so nice to get in one of those chariots among friends and fly with them, to go with them. This is where you have your fellowship. And you can talk in heaven. Imagine getting in one of those chariots and flying around the throne of God and then discussing how beautiful it is together. This is life eternal, life forever, life everlasting, life without end. In the world without end, in the world, in the great heavenly place of God. Also, then it's beautiful to see the throne, to fly around the throne of God. But one thing, when we flew around the throne of God with Jesus, there the throne turns with you. You don't look on the back of God. He's always facing you. This is a phenomena that no man can understand. So God is there on the throne, and you cannot get away and look at the backside of God, no way. There is the front of God, so beautiful, and he's there forever on his throne. And he recognizes all of your blessings to him. He recognizes you. He recognizes especially the martyrs who have been martyred for the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So then you're in front of him, always, always in front of God. And then you're in the mansion. When you're in the mansion, you can't get your face over, off of the place of the front of the throne of God. And then you get into the temple, the same thing. Get in the temple, the same thing, and the temple faces the throne of God. The city four square, which is the city administration building, transparent, looking straight at the throne of God. Everything gives God praise. Everything gives God the glory, and everything gives God the real, 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 real. I say real again, real, real, wonderful, wonderful, holy God that he's entitled to be called Lord God, entitled to be worshipped, entitled to be worshipped. So then you worship God. Worship no other gods but me, the Word says. So then, by worship other gods but him, you're in a complete failure by trying to worship something else beside God. So you worship God in his beautiness. There you worship him in his holiness. You worship him in his love. You worship him in everything known to the glory and the power of God. Now, I want you to try it now. We're going to take you in the next half an hour of this tape, or if it's whatever part it is, we're going to take you out into eternity and take you out on a trip into eternity in a tremendous chariot and take you out flying into outer space. Now, we have them on this earth that trying to go up among all the stars in outer space and fix vehicles to go. But God's got the perfect one to go. The perfect one to go into eternity. Now, I've not been out into eternity yet, but I was told what it was and how it would be. So then special chariots are already and waiting to take us into it, all the way out into eternity, look at the other planets of God. All of this ultimate reality of the finished reality of the beauty of God is there. Now, how man is trying his best to go up there among the stars and see what he can find. He got up there quite a ways, and I guess he'll go quite a little further. But there's no earthly chariot, I believe, is going to fly out there trillions of miles and touch heaven. That's just a little bit too far for us. It'd take 100 ages of men to get there or more, because of the time of travel there would be maybe 100 men's lives to get there. So how in the world would you ever conquer such a thing? Never. Because you're talking about something which is eternity, which is life forever, life eternal, praise God, which is His life. Praise God, He's real and He's powerful. Tell your friends where they can get some more of these wonderful tapes, beautiful red-covered albums. They're going to be sent to you, more of them. You will see what it is. Now, friends, how many of you would like to go to heaven? I'm going to make a prayer right now and ask you, O God, will you please touch the hearts of these people as we pray, O God, for those souls out there. Blessed Father, please, O God, move upon them by the mighty power of God in Jesus' name. Bring them, O God, to their knees that they might give their heart to you, they might be born again, that they might, without even thinking of going back into the world, but, O God, to go and serve you for the rest of their life. O God, we pray for that sick woman out there, that sick man. We pray for that family that's not happy. We pray, O God, that somehow that you would speak to them and let them give their heart to Jesus, to go down upon their knees, O God, and give their heart to Jesus, and may it be born again and feel the glorious power of God. Father, it's so wonderful, so precious that you can do just this. Now, friends, we want you to just serve God with your family, that family out there that is so real and so precious, so wonderful, O God, that family out there that doesn't know God, that's just yet good people, working hard, but doesn't know God. I want to ask all of you, your family, the children, the mother, the father, the sister, and the brother, just all of you, get down on your knees right now and say, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to go to heaven, Lord. That little child out there, 3 or 4 years old, begin to understand. Sonny boy, sonny girl, tell you, please, give your heart to Jesus, will you? Just get down on your knees. All you have to do is say, Jesus loves, because Jesus loves the little children. He loves them all. And He loves you too, honey child. Loves you. So you just give your heart to Him. God bless you is my prayer. Amen. May God be with you. Back into heaven again in this last half of this number 10 tape series. The voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song. This part of heaven about the singing, the reason I read this part, not going to go into 144, nothing like that. Well, I'm saying what is happening in heaven. This part shows that there's a wonderful singing and the harps and the music being played in heaven. The wonderful music and all of that in heaven, as I told you many times. Now, going all through God's heaven, after you've gone through all of this, told you in the first part of this tape, flying everywhere in the transportation system, you can hear the music of God, the music of the harpers and the trumpet players and all going on at the same time. But here's something miraculous. If you don't want to hear it, you don't have to. That was something to behold. What you can do You can do this. You can, like you shut a television off, shut a radio off, but then all you got to think, nothing is forced on you in heaven. If you want to shut it off, all, as you say, in your own mind, just think. You don't want to hear it, and it gets quiet. In other words, the control of heaven is through your body. This is one of the spectacular realities in heaven. Now, heaven is a place of many, many different things going on, thousands of different things going on. But you can't hear them all at one time. So what you do, you turn off your own ears. You have control of your five senses in heaven. Now here, your five senses operate you. But in heaven, you operate your own five senses. Hearing, seeing, speaking is all controlled by yourself. If you don't want to hear it, you don't have to. If you don't want to see it, you don't have to. If you don't want to take part in it, you don't have to. Because it's the most wonderful, victorious place of freedom in the Lord you could ever imagine. All this music going there, all over. So then you want to go to a quiet place. So you can hear it. Turn it on and hear it, or not hear it. In other words, you don't have to have a radio stuck in front of you, or a television stuck in you, or a controller in your hand. You don't need that. Because everything in heaven is operated in perfect harmony, in perfect love, because everybody in heaven, there, the redeemed, are in tune with God. So God doesn't force anything on you in heaven. You worship Him. He doesn't force you to do things. You worship God, and it's such a joy in worshiping God. It's so precious. No sleeping. You don't have to sleep. But you can hear the praise of God going on all the time out of the billions of people serving God. Now, there's one point I would like to bring out what's going on in heaven. That is about the different nationalities. There's been wars and rumors of wars, fightings and bickerings and all through the ages. People killing one another with staves and bayonets and atomic bomb and machine guns and all these kind of apparatuses that use for military. Now, in other words, there's been nation against nation, see, people against people, nationalities against nationalities, colors of kin against colors, all this kind of thing. And all of that, my friends, is a work of the devil. Every bit of it is a work of confusion, a work of the devil that just tries to confuse us that we may not worship God together. That's exactly the way it is. But there's altogether different in heaven. Now, as I've told you some of the things in this earliest part of these tapes, here are all the nationalities of the world redeemed from every nation, and from out of China, Korea, out of Africa, and out of all these different places and countries of the world. There they are. They've made it into heaven. Oh, what a wonderful accomplishment to have made it in. When all these people have made it in, it feels like you're so safe, and you're so there in the ark of safety of God. There's no more turmoil or trouble. No more of that anymore. You're in the ark of safety forever and ever and ever. So this alone, in other words, you've got no more battles to fight. You've got no more territories to conquer. Like Alexander VIII cried because he had no more places to conquer. You're with God, and He's done all of His conquering Himself inside of heaven. So here you are, every nationality becoming one. One. One in God. One in the Holy Ghost, one in the Holy Spirit, one in the power of God, one in the love of God. Everyone. And everybody looks so beautiful. The souls of men look so beautiful, so precious. As you see the souls of these men together, and women, which means women also, there they are, in unison and in joy and happiness, because they've made it in. No more of the earthly woes and troubles and trials. No more hell to shun, no more heaven to gain, because you've already gained it. And there you are in the ark of safety forever. And this is the feeling in heaven that you have, that you made it in. you're in. You're away from all the troubles and trials and all the temptations and all the things that does beset in a human, does come and bother a human's life. That all that work of the devil gone forever, and there you are in heaven with God. This is a feeling I want you to try to get in your mind, what's happened when you get into heaven. So now here are all of this beautiful part of heaven. There's a singing. Now I've heard many different nationalities sing. Many of the Orientals can sing so beautiful. When you hear a Korean choir singing, it's most gorgeous, especially under the power of God. Up in New York, when I was there last, there was this great choir, Korean choir singing. And this saxophone man went out of the clubs of New York, and there they were singing, a beautiful, oh, such wonderful singing. And the singing, so precious, so beautiful. Why is that singing so beautiful? Because it's singing in the Spirit of God, singing that Spirit. I read a book one time about the early ways of the American life, when the slaves were brought out of Africa and all this type of thing. What they turned to was singing in order to help them not feel the terrible atrocities of their taskmasters. But they turned to singing. And singing, I do that sometimes myself. Whenever I find it going a little hard and my toes working for God, I turn to singing. Go along in the car, I turn to singing. So turning to singing is the way you get in touch with God. This is how they got in touch with God. They begin to sing, and as they sang, they begin to have joy. All of their troubles seemed to be gone for a while, and they were singing. So therefore in heaven is this beautiful singing, the glorious singing of the wonderful reality of God, singing together with Jesus. So, friends, I want to say that it's so real that God is going to bless in heaven and bless it in heaven. Friends, I want to say without a shadow of a doubt that God is so real. So, therefore, in this wonderful, precious singing in heaven. Now, I want you to try to understand how that all these people singing together. Now, there's the Dutch have a certain way of singing. There's the French sing a certain way. Germans sing a certain way. And every one of them seem to have a certain way of singing. Then you find, but all of this is blended together in heaven. And here you are, there is all these millions singing to the glory of God. But they're not singing to drown their sorrows or to drown out the horrible things that happens upon this earth. They're singing because of joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. So the joy of heaven is what we're calling our Bible school here, the Joy of Heaven Bible Institute. Because heaven's a place of joy. Now here's all of this turmoil and all this trouble in heaven turned into joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of the glory of God. Try to imagine a billion people all singing at one time songs of God. Songs of the glories of God. All singing at one time. All heaven sings out by the singing of all the different nationalities of the world. Now, 1 billion, 2 billion, 3 billion, big enough to hold it, of all these wonderful redeemed people that's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. When all of the great crowds come inside of heaven, of the billions that's going to be saved in the last days, the great move of God, all moving into heaven, singing to the glory of God. There's going to be no time because time is over. So you won't sing the song of time. You'll sing the song of the beauty of God forever and ever and ever. Now, as we were traveling around in heaven in the chariot, singing took place amongst us. We all begin to sing. All the souls in that chariot begin to sing. Because it's such joy. It's such precious joy. My body didn't go there. I had a man make some advertising out there in Hido, and thought my body, and God, my body did not go. My body stayed here. I'll tell you, if I'd ever got my body in there, I certainly wouldn't want to come back to this mess down here. But there my soul went into heaven. And in the souls that are already there, millions and millions of souls already inside of heaven, in there, according to the glory and the power of God. And it's so wonderful to hear the music. I told you many times. But here is the choirs in heaven. The heavenly choirs, choirs of angels. You can look around all over heaven, see 1,000 choirs singing at one time. I was in a place one time where they had several choirs, but here's 1,000 and more thousand, thousands and thousands of choirs, all singing in perfect harmony to the glory of God. So then heaven is run on this fashion of the glories and the power of God working and arranging everything. Now, here we come to Jesus now, who is doing all the construction in heaven, all the construction. And therefore there is such a move of the necessary accommodations to accommodate all these billions of souls now that are coming to heaven, going into heaven. So there's got to be more quarters, more room, more place. So the construction is terrific, what's going on. Terrific. Here is all of these different archangels working on this part and that part. All these new choir places being made for all the new choirs coming in, and all the new mansions being constructed. Now, Jesus said many mansions. Now, let me explain the mansions, if you will let me for a minute. The mansions are all before the throne of God. Already, there are thousands and thousands or more thousands of mansions in before the throne of God. Yet, with all of this length of miles long and three deep, there are still thousands and thousands of more mansions being constructed. No wonder Jesus said the word many, because there are thousands of more mansions being constructed. Now, when you think of the size of heaven, how big it is, out of the throne of God, the size, and when you think of this part of heaven, just definitely thousands, listen to me, I said thousands of miles of mansions, all side by side, three deep before the throne of God. This will kind of give you a picture of how many God is going to have come into heaven. All these millions of souls, the millions of souls coming in, and then finally the resurrection and the transformed body, the spiritual body, not a fleshly body, the spiritual body, come out of the grave and there in heaven to worship God. Try to imagine this tremendous place, if you will, please. It's a tremendous place. And then you can think again of all of the tremendous size of everything. Try to imagine a dining room or a banqueting house 1,000 square miles and continuous serving all the time. And therefore, they flow in there to eat the fruit of the vine and eat all of the things that God sets in that table in heaven. Plenty of it. You don't have to go down to the store to get it because it's already there for you. An abundance of supply. To feed the hungry of this world alone, when you think of it, to feed the hungry, impossible. No wonder Jesus said, you'll always have the poor with you, because he knew that's what was going to happen, that the population was going to increase so tremendously, it would be impossible for everybody to get rich. So Jesus said, you'll always have the poor with you, always. And there's poor people in this world that actually does not get it. I know from where I speak, do not have enough to eat. That's right. But here's heaven, and God's plan to feed billions at one time. Never been done on this earth, to feed billions at one time in heaven. Billions going through the banqueting house, billions going through and getting plenty to eat. I'm telling you, that's something. Billions and billions going to eat every day. Billions and billions going to eat. Exactly what's going to be. Therefore, God is preparing a place to feed billions of the spiritual food of heaven. I said billions. Now I want to try to think of the amount of instruments it's going to take for all of these, part of these billions to play. It's going to be so much, so tremendous, and so many, 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 many instruments in heaven. Millions and millions of instruments there for the billions to play. You see, that's tremendous. No factory upon this earth could ever produce and make that many instruments, never. But here God does it with his own hand, because he's a creator, and he creates them. He doesn't have to have a man hammering around and doing that. But the reason the mansions is going to be instructed, because that's the beauty of God. God loves to see those mansions coming under construction to accommodate the billions of souls. And it pleases God, because the devil is being conquered. The devil's being destroyed. He won't have any chance anymore. He'll be finished. No more. And because all of his works will be over, his works will be no more, there'll be no more sickness, no more sorrow. But all of this wonderful preparation made for you. For you to come into God's heaven, of all nationalities, all skin colors, of the whole world, to come into heaven and enjoy eternity. I'm trying to show you how big heaven is. Then I want you to understand of the millions of garments that God has prepared to put on the billions of people. No factory has ever turned out that many garments, billions and billions, never. I'd say millions, but not billions. And then on even into trillions of wedding garments to go on to the redeemed. It's going to be such a revival in the world, such a move of God, that God is going to have his way. Turmoil and trouble has been on every hand, and sickness and sorrow and demon powers of the devil. But here is a way out. And the way out of this horrible earthly conditions is by the blood and the power of Jesus Christ to come in there that way. Now, other parts of heaven is so beautiful. When you think of the places where all of these instruments are, and when you think of the beauty of the way it's arranged, when you think of the beauty of how God has arranged it all, that all these instruments will pray. And it's not an over noise you hear sometimes on the different television radios, but it's a beautiful, 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 beautiful sound of God's glory being made manifest in heaven. Then also beside that, there is the worship of God, worshiping God. Now, I like to go into church and worship and have a worship service and see it happen. But here is all of this wonderful, wonderful reality of God moving. All of this wonderful power of God, all being coming to one center, heaven. All of this wonderful worship of God. All the worship of all the churches and all the worships of this world. Finish. No more. No more worship here. Be a terrible place. Everything will be over there. And all of the beautiful worship, the worship of the glory of God, brought all into one place, into heaven. So to see the worship of God going on, and the glory of God, and the singing, and there'll be no more prayer, because there's prayer in heaven now, but there'll be no more necessity for prayer. All the prayer will turn into joy and to worship. And then one of the most spectacular things that I can think about in heaven is the wonderful, wonderful city. This great city, four square. It lights up very prominent in heaven. You see, it has windows, it has doors and entrances, and it's all made of transparent gold. And it lights up to a certain degree in heaven, because it's 100% occupied. And it's going to be occupied forever. And there will not be electric light plant to keep that all that power and that light coming out of the city four square, the place of the administration of heaven. It will be always lit up. No darkness. No darkness. Every part of the city four square, all lit up beautiful, would not be, and it's not as bright as the throne of God. There's the banqueting house. If you look at it, lit up beautiful by the power of God. Lit up bright, nothing dark in there. The light is so beautiful and bright. And then the river is all lit up with beautiful lights, all the way down the side of the river of life, all lit up with the beauty of God. And then there's the sea of glass, which is all lit up so beautiful also. I want you to think of something bright and lit up, which is exactly what heaven is. And then you think of the crystal sea, which goes on and looks so beautiful, and the different colors lit up to the glory of God. All of heaven is light. There's no darkness in heaven. None whatsoever. No dark corners. Nothing. And they're all that lit up. But yet above it all, above all of those beautiful lights, there I want you to see the throne of God, lit up brighter than any part of it. The throne of God lit up so bright. And there's God on His throne. The glittering beauty of the throne. Now I want you to think of the 24 elders. They're so beautiful. Their crowns are shining. And they're crowned, and there's Jesus sitting right there in the midst of it all. And then the four beasts, all lit up, nothing dark about it, all lit up, all giving God preeminence and giving God the glory. And throwing their beautiful, shiny crowns, glittering with glitter, throwing them down before the throne of God, giving God all the preeminence and all the glory. And then the throne itself. Can you try to see the throne of God? Here is the throne, but yet, you can't see God's face now. Because going over that throne, as I've told you before, is this rainbow. This rainbow going up. And that rainbow is caused, as you know, I've told you, from the prayers of the saints down here. But there'll be no more prayers. The reason that you'll be able to see God's face then is because this prayer will stop. And there'll be no more prayer at all. Not necessary for prayer. Therefore, there'll be no more rainbow. The rainbow. And there'll be God's glory. Because the rainbow, what the rainbow does is cover God's face. So you can't see his face, and the rainbow goes out in the crystal sea. But the prayers will be over and all over, and then what will shine? The brightness of God's face will show all over God's heaven. We'll see Him face to face. That's going to be a day when the mystery will be all unsolved, the mystery of eternity all unsolved. And there you'll be able to look at the great face and the glory of God in full. The glory of God as God reveals Himself, who He is, where He come from, the great I Am. The one, here is His face being revealed now. We look at it with all of His glory. Solomon, with all of His glory in the temple, could not be arrayed as a little flower. That's right, as a little flower. But here is God there with all of His glory being made manifest to all of His followers in heaven. And there it will be, the shining face of God the Father being made manifest to all of His people. Try to understand that, will you? As you see, be able to see the face of God. From all eternity, God will show His face. No, my. When we look on His face and we see His eyes and His nose and all of them, because God created man in His own likeness. Definitely His own likeness. That's right. So therefore, God will reveal Himself in all of His beauty. And you'll be able to look on His face. Look on His face to face with God my Father, face to face. What will it be? And we'll be able to behold Him. We'll be able to behold Him. We'll be able to worship Him. And we'll be able to play the instrument to Him. There He will be. An exciting time forever as we give God all the glory. A exciting time it will be. As there He has manifested Himself and made Himself known to all of the redeemed, made Himself known, the One, as His face is uncovered and all His beauty uncovered, as we look on Him, and there we will. It's going to be so wonderful, we'll know what it's all about. Like the song says, further along, I'll know more about it. Further along, I will understand why. I'll understand the beauty of God. When it's all revealed, God the Father and all His omnipotence and all His power and all His glory and all His wisdom and all His knowledge will be revealed unto you. He'll hide nothing against us then. Nothing will be hid from us. We'll know all about God's glory. We'll know all about creation. We'll know all about eternity. Know about it all. What a time that will be. That time that will be. But what one of the most wonderful things is we'll be able to go and see God's eternity. We ought to go and see what He's done through the billions of years and trillions of years, what God's done. Without God, there would be nothing. Without God, there would be nothing. Nothing at all. No way there'd be anything. He's a great creator. And common sense would tell anybody, behind all of this universe, behind all of these planets, behind all of it all, there is a creator. The creator of all things, the great creator. The great creator is our Savior. The great creator is the one we worship. And the battle in heaven, the devil, messed all up the whole thing. But there is a reality of God and His beauty to look on Him. To look on Him and live. Because you couldn't look on Him and see His face now and live. But now, at that time, you'll be able to look on His face, face to face with God, my Father, face to Him. What will it be? Friends out there, we're listening to my voice of these tapes. As you really and truly do it, I'm praying to you, O Father, be with these precious souls that want to go to heaven. God, speak to them. We're going to be able to give you personal letters and write to you personally when you get these tapes, write to you. And we'll encourage you and encourage you. Father God, I ask you to encourage these precious people. And, O God, give them joy and peace and faith to believe about all these things that we've said. Father, move upon their life and upon their life and give them that we might have one of the greatest moves of God the world has ever known. The greatest moves of God. Tell your friends about these tapes and let them move out. We're going to make thousands of them, thousands. And we'll have these, the first batch, ready for shipping. Beautiful, red, covered tapes. May God bless you and be with you is my prayer. I'll be with you in the next one. May God bless you is my prayer. Amen.